DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Catherine Becker, who is a doctoral student at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's an active member of the Dating Fast movement. The endless cycle of boyfriends and breakups got to be exhausting emotionally and spiritually for Catherine, until a friend introduced her to the idea of the dating fast. She then rediscovered her joy for life. You don't have to kiss dating goodbye, but a 40-day scripture-based retreat from the fray works wonders. Romantic love isn't dead, says Catherine, but you have to know where to look for it. With Catherine Becker, we go inside the pages of The Dating Fast, 40 Days to Reclaim Your Heart, Body, and Soul, published by Crossroads. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me today.
A remarkable book, The Dating Fast, 40 Days to Reclaim Your Heart, Body, and Soul. Does it only take 40 days?
No, I mean, the book is kind of one prescription, so to speak, but every single person is different, and every person's kind of reasons for going on a dating fast are different. And so for some people, 40 days would be enough time. For other people, it might take a little longer. It's, you know, very dependent on the individual.
Talk to us about what led you to write the book in the first place.
Well, I had kind of gotten frustrated, so to speak, with the dating world, and went to a close friend of mine who I really trusted, and through her, just kind of learned about the concept of a dating fast. And she actually had went on a dating fast for an entire year and just talked to me about all of the benefits that she had and her relationship with Christ and how much that had strengthened. And so I started to kind of think about it and pray about it, and on my own decided to go on a dating fast of my own. And so I went on one for 3 months. And at the conclusion of that, I just really felt kind of called to share that message with other people and to let them know kind of the benefits of taking some time for oneself. And I'm a really firm believer in the fact that you can't give something to somebody else mm-hmm. that you don't have for yourself already. And so I think just taking some time for oneself is very beneficial.
You do allude to in your book that in today's world there's so much happening that's assaulting women in particular, especially the young, that there is a lot of emotional trauma, and that can come from painful relationships in the past. And that's something that the culture kind of sets up as almost an acceptable type of rite of passage or something that young women are forced to go through, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Sometimes the culture even neglects to recognize the emotional and the spiritual side, you know, of femininity and of masculinity as well. And people think that, oh, well, it's not going to cause any physical problems. But people forget that we are also emotional beings and we're also spiritual beings.
Mm. Talk to us about some of the actual activities that you have in this fast. It's not so much about giving up as much as it's about entering into a new way of doing things, or at least a new way of living.
Well, there's a lot of different... The way that the book is kind of set up is that each day has a theme, and each day has a scripture passage that relates to that particular theme, a reflection, and then what I call a dare. And the dares range anything from spending time in quiet prayer with God to calling a family member or spending time with a close family member, to pursuing a new hobby, to exercise. And so there's a wide variety and a wide range of things to really kind of tap into different people's interests, as well as to tap into the different aspects that kind of encompass who we are as human beings.
It's important that you do have that daily opportunity to be able to reflect, isn't it? Because, I mean, it really helps connect you. And also to, you know, bear in mind, you're not giving up on dating completely.
Oh, no, definitely not. And I think one of the common misconceptions of a dating fast is that you're spending time in isolation mm-hmm. and you're not, like, living in community with other people. But you are living in community with other people. But what you're doing is you're kind of refraining from either being in a dating relationship or pursuing various dating relationships and taking some time for yourself and working on those relationships that you have with family and with close friends and kind of building those up, because those relationships and how you kind of treat those and have those relationships very much so will carry over into any dating relationship that you have.
Catherine, it just strikes me that this book, I know it's geared towards women, but it's really something that men could take advantage of as well.
Oh, most definitely. I know plenty of men who either are currently on a dating fast or who have been on dating fasts before. So while my book is, I would say, kind of tailored to women because I do talk about my own experiences, you know, men can definitely benefit from this book, and there's definitely, you know, words of wisdom that I think men can receive from reading this book as well.
Mm. What would you say to a woman out there who is about to re-enter into the dating, can I say it, scene, after engaging in the dating fast?
Well, I think one of the important things to remember, and I kind of allude to this in the last chapter, or mm-hmm. day 41 of the book, but it's just that just because, you know, you finish this fast doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to have, you know, Mr. Right on your doorstep, or that the next relationship is going to be the one, or even that necessarily you are kind of called to the vocation of marriage. And so I think it's important to just kind of, you know, be patient and to work on continuing those virtues that you've built up throughout the dating fast, and just trying to live your life in a way that really is centered in Christ, a life of prayer, a life of just kind of living and not just being.
I'm so glad you brought up that focus on the virtues. That's the thing that really jumped out at me. Help those who may not appreciate what virtue living is like.
Well, I think the virtues are something, you know, that Christ has given to us as a way to really help us. And the virtues are certainly not always easy. A close friend of mine once told me, you know, the virtue of patience, if you pray for that, a lot of times God's going to, you know, put something in your life to try and teach you to be more patient, which initially might cause a lot of frustration. And so living a life of virtue is really working on these, you know, various virtues, whether it's patience, whether it's trust, whether it's hope, and really trying to kind of develop them in a way that recognizes the beauty of them and allows them to help you draw closer to Christ and help you to live a holy life, which is what we are called to live.
Boy, living a holy life, that is something that, it should be something that is easily seen. We could say, here's the definition of what a holy life is. And yet, in today's culture, women are being told that they can do and should be able to do whatever they want in their lives, with their bodies and their relationships, that they should have total freedom. And that is just not something that is exactly of that sacrificial type of love, that sacrificial type of giving that exemplifies what we've understood as a holy life.
Almost definitely. I think people have taken the words like freedom or choice, and they've morphed them into this understanding that, like you said, it means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. But what people don't realize is that when they do have that perspective, that a lot of times that perspective is the one that binds them and enslaves them, and that it's, you know, not until you kind of take a step back and that you really try to understand what living a virtuous life means, what being holy means, and kind of living a life of prayer and obedience and fasting and recognizing the beauty of those things, that you are really, truly living a freer life.
Mm. You write about the danger of being careless with your heart. How does that happen?
Well, I think, especially for women, a lot of times it's very easy to be attracted to somebody, whether it's physically being attracted to them, or you're attracted to the personality, or to, you know, the type of hobbies or things that they pursue, and you just kind of, for lack of a better word, try to dream about, so to speak, or think about, like, oh, this person's so great, and they're fantastic, and you just kind of put this blanket statement that everything is great, and that this would be the ideal person.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really recognizing that person for who they really are. You're not understanding, you know, the flaws that that person has, because we each have flaws. And you're not recognizing, you know, whether or not that person is really somebody that Christ would want you to be with, and somebody that would help you grow in virtue, and that would help you live a more holy life. And so I think a lot of times careless with your heart is just kind of, you know, basing assessments or judgments about people on very superficial things, or basing it on things that, you know, you initially meet about somebody, and not really, you know, guarding your heart or leading your heart, but rather letting emotions lead you, which is an unhealthy way to live.
Well, there's another woman out there around your age that made a lot of news going before Congress. Of course, her name is Sandra Fluke. And if you had a chance to talk with her, what would you say to this woman who seems to claim the mantle of speaking for all women, especially in your generation?
Well, I think if I met her, or if I were to kind of speak to her, one of the things that I would, you know, challenge her on is just trying to understand why she thinks that perspective, or that approach is the right perspective, or is the perspective that all women have, or is even a healthy perspective. Because I do think that, I don't believe that that's the case, and I don't believe that that is what it means to be free and to have choice, and, you know, that that's what women want. And so I would certainly, you know, looking at some of the statistics, whether it's the divorce rate, whether it's the rate of STDs, whether it's the number of people, especially young adults, that have reported depression, you know, there really is a problem out there, and that's not the answer to the problem.
Mm. Well, you're a young woman on a university campus. Of course, you're a doctoral candidate of philosophy at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you're out there. You're on the campus. What are you seeing? You tell us from your perspective, what are you encountering and what are you seeing?
Well, one of the things, I do teach undergraduates at UWM. And so one of the things that I do see is kind of what I would call this careless lifestyle, where it's, you know, I'm in college and life is great and I don't have any concerns or cares. And a lot of people, you know, engage in various, I would say, unhealthy behaviors, whether it's living a life of promiscuity or living a life of, you know, heavy drinking, and just kind of living under this perception that that's what it means to be in college. But that's not what it means to be in college. And, you know, college really is a time to give you that space to grow, but you have to be willing and be able, and in many ways be courageous, to really try to learn, you know, what living a life of virtue means. And when you have this time and you have this space, making the choice to really choose the healthier perspective, and the perspective, you know, that I think Christ would want us to choose.
It's hard, though, isn't it, Catherine? I was talking with a friend of mine whose daughter is in her third year of college, and she's finding herself almost isolated in some ways because of her stance on purity and how she really has taken that to heart and seriously. And even some encounters that she's had with guys who wanted to date her, but after the first date, when she said that she would not enter into an intimate relationship with them right off the bat, she has been, you know, essentially out of the mainstream activity. And so there is that bit of an isolation that can occur.
It's not an easy road a lot of times. And so I don't discount or discredit the difficulties or the challenges, you know, especially in college. I think a lot of times it becomes a little easier when you are kind of an older adult and you're working and things like that, because you have kind of some freedom to choose, I would say, people a little bit more easily than being constricted and confined to that university campus. But I think it is a difficult life and it is challenging, and it's important to acknowledge that. But I think just because it's difficult or challenging or hard doesn't mean that it's not worth it in the end.
Probably even more imperative that you enter into those type of rituals that can help you to strengthen yourself. And the dating fast and those wonderful daily practices that you have for those 40 days, I would say you probably could repeat them periodically, maybe once or maybe even twice a year.
Oh, most definitely. You know, repeat those, or even, you know, try to find other like-minded people like yourself. And it might be difficult and challenging depending on, you know, your transportation and mobility and things like that. But there are people out there who do desire to live that type of life. And sometimes it's difficult to see or it's not easy to find those people. But I can say that they are out there, and that, you know, I have been fortunate to find many of those people in the various kind of cities that I've lived in and such. And so, you know, try to surround yourself with people like that and build that type of environment, you know, for yourself.
One way is to also reach out on various social media, and you are a part now of bringing the dating fast and connecting those who have really have had an experience from that together.
Oh, most definitely. I am on Twitter, the Dating Fast, and also on Facebook. And so I'd be happy to reach out to any women or any men who would be interested in kind of learning more about the topic or interested in, you know, purchasing the book or anything like that. And so I think it is kind of, you know, social media has been able to connect people that typically would not have any sort of communication with each other.
I forget what the exact number is, but more and more people are meeting potential companions and even spouses online.
The number of online dating websites has increased. I have quite a few friends who have met their significant others and also spouses online. And so it has, you know, helped people, so to speak, to reach out and to find like-minded people who share a lot of the perspectives and virtuous life perspective that they have.
Hopefully in living a virtuous life, that wonderful virtue of hope, that even becomes stronger and is strengthened from this type of practice, as well as their involvement in the sacramental life of the church for those who are Catholic in particular.
And I think that, you know, it's just important to remember, you know, that it's all about your relationship with Christ and kind of centering yourself in that relationship with Him, and that He's the only person who's going to be able to provide that complete fulfillment for your heart that you desire, and that everything else, you know, is kind of secondary to that. And so once you have and are continuing to work on, because it is a daily process of fulfilling, you know, having that life of fulfillment through Christ, you know, everything else just seems to eventually kind of fall into place.
Mm. So tell us, how has this affected you personally and your relationship with men?
Well, the dating fast, I've actually been on two. The first dating fast I went on was for 3 months, and then shortly after that, that's when I started to pursue some of the writing for this book. And the second dating fast I went on was actually last year during Lent. I went on the 40-day fast that I prescribe in the book. And both of the fasts have really helped me in a lot of ways. They've helped me kind of heal from some brokenness and pain with past relationships and times where I have been kind of emotionally careless with my heart. It's also helped me to grow in virtue and to recognize the beauty of a lot of the virtues. And it's also helped me to just, you know, be able to understand what it is that I desire in other relationships. And so just relationships that I've, you know, had since then, or even men that I've met since then, really kind of having that understanding and that confidence in myself to be able to know what it is that I want and what I need, and to be able to communicate with that with them. And also recognize the importance and significance of having kind of a good foundation of a friendship first, because, you know, everything else is kind of secondary to that friendship.
Hmm. You know, just once again to briefly look at the structure of the book, and we've talked about over the 40 days, the practices that will help you enter in and understand and grow in the virtues, but also a very, very practical reflections on forgiveness. And that's an aspect of it. You kind of, you know, again, alluded to that you have to, because of the choices that we make, influenced greatly by the pressure of society, there is a desire and a need to forgive ourselves and to forgive others in a truly Christian fashion.
Oh, definitely. I mean, forgiveness is very important. And whether it's forgiving another person or forgiving yourself and just allowing God to heal you, you know, it is an important thing to, you know, to have and to do, especially before you get into a dating relationship, because you don't want any of that pain or anger or frustration to carry over into that, you know, new relationship that you have with somebody else.
Mm. Also, I think the one on Thanksgiving, I think that's very important too, is to be able to give thanks and to be able to take stock. I mean, so often we take a look at what we don't have and what we want and what we desire, and if I could only get this, instead of, you know, standing back and taking that time to appreciate what we've already been blessed with.
I am just as guilty as anybody else. You know, a lot of times when we turn to God in prayer, we turn to Him with our list of needs and our list of wants, but we don't turn to Him with that list of thanksgiving. And so I think it is really important to, you know, thank God for everything that you have and to recognize everything that He's given us, and to kind of focus more on that rather than focus on the things that you don't have or that you wish you had, because, you know, Christ gives us what we need and what he knows that we need. And so I think it's important to kind of focus on that as you build your relationship with Him.
Mm. Catherine, well, we're talking with Catherine Becker, the author of The Dating Fast, 40 Days to Reclaim Your Heart, Body, and Soul. And before we leave, the notion of romantic love, is it something that we have to give up? Or, I mean, what's your notion of it? I mean, what is Orthodox belief in romantic love?
Well, I think romance, you know, is something that is a part of dating. But I think that it's been very sexualized in the media. Mm-hmm. I think it's been very kind of heightened in its emotional sense. And so the reality of what love really is and what love really means, you know, is something that encompasses kind of romantic love, but also, you know, the other aspects of love, whether it's sacrificial, whether it's, you know, unconditional, you know, all of that encompasses love, and it's not just about the romance. And so I think it's important to kind of, you know, understand what love really is and what love really means, and the source of love, which is God. And by understanding that and by appreciating that and really valuing that, I think it then helps to put into perspective, you know, what it means to love somebody else.
Mm. Any final thoughts?
I think just, you know, I would encourage both men and women to really kind of have a good understanding of, you know, who they are and what it is that they want and that they need, and to recognize their own beauty as Christ's beloved children. And I hope that, you know, people will consider kind of taking some time for themselves, because I think it is something that can help dating relationships, that can help people who are entering into marriages, you know, and just really trying to live very Christ-centered lives and Christ-centered relationships. And so if people, you know, are interested and really feel, you know, that their heart is being, you know, called to kind of take some time for themselves and to focus on prayer in a relationship with God and the other relationships in their life, you know, I would encourage them to maybe reach out to me. I can be found at thedatingfast@gmail.com, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter at thedatingfast. And so I'd love to kind of, whether it's dialogue with people or, you know, offer them my book and stuff, just to kind of help people really, you know, grow deeper in their relationships with Christ.
Catherine, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
With Catherine Becker, we've gone inside the pages of The Dating Fast, 40 Days to Reclaim Your Heart, Body, and Soul. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to crossroads.com, the website for its publisher, Crossroad Books. Or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.